During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's Tiffany DeCross, your host of Across Generations, and I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in every single week. I want to take a moment to shout out those of you who have taken the time to rate and review the show. That really helps grow the platform, and I really, really appreciate it. So I want to thank you, Susie757. You said you love this podcast, and each and every episode has resonated with you, and I just want to thank you for saying that, because that's the goal of the show. We want to resonate with you, so keep tuning in, and hopefully we'll keep resonating. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations, prepare to engage or hear perspectives that no one else is having. You know how we do? We create magic.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Across Generations. And today we have a very exciting topic to talk about, marriage. So before we get into the conversation, I want to start with the marriage rates in America. They have actually been on the decline since the latter half of the 20th century. And collectively, we're all marrying at a later age. But here's the interesting thing. The decline of marriage and delay are even more dramatic among us, among Black folks. That's all according to the latest U.S. Census. Now, in 1970, just over 35% of Black men and 27% of Black women were never married. But by 2020, these percentages had jumped to 51.4% for Black men and 47.5% for Black women. Now, why do we think that is? I'll tell you personally, I didn't grow up looking at bridal magazines or planning what my wedding would look like, but I certainly desired a life partner. And I wonder what the correlation is between marriage and love, because these are not the same things. Both seem to be more elusive in our community, and that makes me sad. People seem to desire it less and less, and we know there are benefits to marriage. You can start building wealth earlier. Having a life partner can enhance your health, career, and lifespan. And it can be beautiful, but I do wonder now with smartphones and Instagram scrolling and things like pornography at our fingertips, does it erode the desire for partnership, actual partnership? The data shows that famous statistic that everybody loves to quote, that half of all marriages end in divorce, and that is true, but that's the first marriage. And the average length of that first marriage before you get divorced is 8 years. So I do wonder, why aren't people getting married? Why are those who do get married divorcing? What do the wise have to teach us about marriage? And what do the young have to reveal to us about their views on partnership? And for me, I've been contemplating, if you're not combining balance sheets, if you're not trying to have children, if you're comfortable in your own space, what does love and partnership look like at this age? I have some thoughts. And quite frankly, though, I'm really looking for some guidance on some of these things. So please, let's get into it. I am so thrilled to be joined by Miss Sade. She is a 31-year-old podcaster and an entrepreneur. Very happy to have you here with us, Sade. And we have Mrs. Tate. Now, Mrs. Tate is 81 years old, former software developer, proud mother of two. But here's the most impressive thing. She's been married for 61 years. So amazing. You're not married. You're dating. Married for 61 years. I'm in the middle. I'm looking for advice from you both. Mrs. Tate, I want to start with you because 61 years, I mean, that's amazing. When I was younger and people would say how long they were married and then the audience would applaud, I never got that. Now that I'm older, I understand why people look at it like an accomplishment. Tell us a little bit about your marriage.
Well, first of all, I got married when I was 18. And I think I mentioned before at Howard University, back then, I was pregnant when we got married. Those are things that you really had to do, or your parents would try to work something out. So I was pregnant when I got married. But I'd like to say my husband and I were definitely in love, because it was a thing about love at first sight with the both of us when we met at Howard University. I clearly remember I had gone to a party with my girlfriend and we were coming down the stairs and Bob, he was there. And our eyes clicked, and for some reason, it was something was going on. And I walked down the stairs, and he walked over to me and grabbed my hand, and we just started dancing. And we left that party together. We hadn't said a word to each other, and we left. I didn't have sex with him that night. Yes.
No judgment if you did. No judgment if you did. I'm impressed with Mr. Tate's game if you did, but no judgment.
So being pregnant, you always wonder, are we married because I was pregnant or because we loved each other that much? It always kind of lingers in your mind. And I think after 61 years, I think we do love you. I love you more today than I did back then.
Really?
And of course, we had our rough patches along the way, like most marriages do.
That testimony, I started out by saying, you know, I'm wondering what it looks like. But hearing you say that, it does make me desire a partnership even more to hear you talk about that. 61 years, that's a really long, long time. This concept of love at first sight, it makes me wonder about the correlation between love and marriage, because I just said the two are not always the same. In some marriages, I feel like they're mutually exclusive. Some people just stay together. But it sounds like you and your husband, 61 years later, you make a conscious decision every day to still be there and in love with each other.
In a sense, it was a conscious decision, because when my daughters, I was working at the time, and then we were young. I was 18, he was 21, an only child, a little kind of not spoiled, but, you know. So some of the things, and I remember sitting talking with my daughters, and they were like 6 or 7 at the time, and he'd done something crazy. And I sat them down and I said, you know, Janine, Deidre, I'm thinking about very seriously, I'm going to leave your father. And they looked at me and said, what? And they said, okay, Mom. And my older daughter, Janine, said, then who's going to take care of Daddy? And when she said that, I said, well, there goes the part for better or worse. So I said, okay. So I made a commitment. I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to work past whatever it is that we're going through.
Wow.
Yes.
There's a story there and I'm going to get it, but I'm going to come back to that. Okay. I have so many more questions about that.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie. He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap. Hosted by MC 8 and Big Steels every Thursday. Each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangster rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
I want to bring Sade into the conversation, our younger guest here. Now, Sade, you're dating someone, mm-hmm. right? You guys are in an exclusive relationship?
Yes.
And do you want to get married?
I do. It took me a while to kind of come to that because I grew up with my mom really emphasizing that, yes, marriage is beautiful. Like, my parents were married, but she's like, ultimately, in this day and age, it's a business. It's like a contract. So if you are getting into a situation, you need to be mindful of, like, this person could get your assets, your home, like other things. And so I've always been like, well, if I don't need to get married on paper, maybe I won't. I've looked up you could be in like a long-term agreement and then you could get paperwork that like, if I need to take care of him in the hospital or something like that, I could do that. I've literally looked into that. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, I think I'll do it.
You do want to get married.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear you talk about it. Like, it's like a business, you know, like it's a contract.
Yeah.
And not a life partnership and like a spiritual, mental, emotional connection.
I think that you can have that type of a connection with so many people. It doesn't necessarily just have to be the person you decide to marry. I think when you do jump into marriage, at least from my perspective, it is definitely a conscious decision that you are splitting something from like a business perspective, because we could just be together and it could be very casual and we don't have to go down to the courthouse and have a piece of paper binding us. And so I've really kind of gone back and forth on those thoughts, but I think it is something that would mean a lot more so to him.
It's interesting hearing the two of you, your perspectives on it and the way you describe it is very different. And I want to get into how our collective perspectives on marriage have changed through the decades and the generations. We just talked about how it's a steady decline in the Black community specifically. And I got to say, I think our superpower has been that structure, our family unit, our community. And so seeing those statistics, I'm questioning what is happening with us that we are choosing to not partner. We know that you were with child, but you're saying, yeah, I would still choose my husband today. What is it about your partnership that has sustained over 6 decades?
To me, marriage is like a lifetime of compromise and rearrange priorities. So that's something you have to always keep in mind, that it's not just you in this marriage. You have a partner. So you have to come to some common ground on things. I think that's very, very important. it's a lot of compromise mm-hmm. and a lot of rearranging of priorities.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting quote. Latasha Richardson is the wife of Sam Jackson. And someone asked her, how did you maintain your marriage all these years? And she said, it requires a lot of amnesia and a lot of forgiveness. Yeah. I think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, there have to be times where you wonder. And I know me personally, I don't have a lot of either. I don't have a lot of amnesia and I don't have a lot of forgiveness. Something I need to work on, obviously. I mean, I date. Mm-hmm. I am not in an exclusive relationship. And it just feels like both are slipping away from us. You know, like it seems like your generation has a different attitude. In my generation, sometimes it feels like you show up to the table with animus. What does this person want from me? Men have an attitude sometimes of what are you trying to get from me? Or, you know, there's history and like bitterness built up. I think women come to the table like, why won't you let me love you? You know, and I'm trying to figure out how to bridge that divide. Your generation, though, I have to say, it does not seem like they value partnership at all.
I really don't know what happened. I talk about this a lot on our podcast. Like, it seems... Okay, don't get me wrong. I know I said I think marriage, you know, ultimately it is a contract and you do need to be able to go into a situation saying like, are we going to do this? Because if the IRS come and you done does something stupid, like I don't want to be attached to it. But at the same time, I think my generation specifically is so obsessed with money and finances and it's unrealistic. I'm like, what happened to just like a nice man who had a stable job, but everybody want to be a city girl and everybody wants to be taken care of. They want a soft life. But no one's thinking about the compromise. I think that's the decline. I think that's where the disconnect is happening. Like, people don't want to compromise. Everyone thinks it's going to be this perfect situation, which we know it's not. And they're looking for something that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Michelle Obama was talking about this. She was like, people don't want to do the work. They just want like the wedding and the flowers and the pretty, and then they're done.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's why my generation, unfortunately, is very confused. They've gotten caught up in the material.
Well, one of my favorite books that I read, Finding Me by Viola Davis. It was such an amazing book. And she talks about love and partnership and marriage and how she had to, you know, love herself. And she quotes an episode of Golden Girls in the book where Dorothy Zvornak is saying she wants someone to grow old with. And that's the part that so many younger people don't like. We want the cute, we want the sweet and the fun, but... You know, we all might not look like Mrs. Tate when we're 81, you know?
Listen.
Like, your body changes, your face changes, you gain weight, you lose weight, you get sick, you lose your hair. When I had fibroid surgery, I was losing my hair, and I dealt with that by myself. It grew back, thankfully. So at the time, you get moles and hair grows out of them, you know? Like, you just grow old. And I fear that this younger generation that chases people who look like mannequins on Instagram, they are not even prepared for that. Because we have such a seasoned, experienced woman here, what advice do you give us as young women, younger women who want to get married, but maybe we don't know what we're signing up for? It's not a long first date. It's a life commitment. Mm.
For young women today, they have a lot more options. When I was young, you were expected to get married. You go to high school and not even necessarily go to college if you're a woman. You get married and you have children. And nowadays, I think one of the reasons why that number is dwindling is because women, especially Black women, are the most progressive in terms of graduating from college and in their careers and everything. It's not like you have to have a man to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas when I was younger, there are a lot of women to take care of. They needed a husband to financially exist in this world. Whereas you don't have that now. And also, maybe when I was in my 20s or 30s, the emphasis was on not me too. It was the me generation looking out for number one. So I think the whole mentality, that had something to do with the mentality of being married. And it has impacted that also. That it's not something that you have to do.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. I'm sure you're going through this with the young man you're dating, but we talked about this a little bit before. It's a whole other person, you know, it's a whole other human being who has a whole different perspective. And the thing that surprises me most about intimacy with another person outside of physical intimacy But this person can ruin my whole day, you know, with a text message or a phone call. This person can make a decision that casts a dark shadow over my week. And that kind of like open, raw access to me is intimidating. It's frightening. And it's like, I'm giving you every tool to hurt me. And I'm trusting that you will not. Mm-hmm. That it requires a lot of trust. Do you have that kind of trust with your man?
It's something that I'm working on. And it's funny that you said that because I just was talking to my therapist about this. It's a level of vulnerability that I've never wanted to have and be so open. I'll give you a little story. Like, we got into an argument over the silliest thing, like where we were going to go on a date. And he like changed where it was going to be. And I was like, but I planned it. And now you're trying to do something else. Like, this is so unfair. You're not thinking about how I'm thinking about it. And so I just shut down completely. And I was like, we're not going nowhere. And I'm about to go out with my friends. And I'm not even going to come home. And I just wanted to go straight to like anger and resentment and to make him feel bad. And then I realized I didn't have the vulnerability to say, you hurt my feelings. And that was really what it was.
Yeah, I think that's very important because a lot of time we take for granted women communicate differently with each other than men and women. And a lot of time with men, you have to be, if it's something on your mind, it's the last thing on their mind. You can't sit there and be angry. You need to have a conversation and explain if something bothers you, you need to discuss it and talk about it. And after a while, they'll get where you're coming from. But I think a lot of time we just expect men to automatically be perfect. And maybe if they were single or on their own, their behavior would be perfect. But then you have to, like, it's two of us here, so it's give and take. But if it's something bothers you, just have the conversation with them. And it's very surprising how a light bulb will turn on and, you know, and that issue may go away.
Mrs. Tate, Shade made a good point, though, about hurt feelings. And I'm curious from you after 61 years, clearly there's been some hurt feelings at some point in your marriage, I'm sure. If you can recall a time where you were the most hurt by your husband, he hurt you the most, cut you the deepest. How did you can share what you want to about that time? But how did you survive that pain? How'd you get past it?
I would say when we were young, we went through. But also when my daughters got older, and they were off to college and everything. And I remember clearly being home one night and my husband wasn't there. And I was just sitting in the bed and I said, wow, it was like so quiet in here. It was just me and my thoughts. And I said, wow, this is a whole new phase of life that I'm going through. And so now it made me have to pay more attention to my relationship with my husband, which when you're raising children, a lot of times you miss like a lot of things. So things weren't running smoothly or anything. And we hung in there for a while. But by the time my daughters had graduated, he and I just were not on the same page. And we separated. Now, and it took a while for him. He was supposed to leave, but he didn't leave. So I was the one that went and looked for an apartment. And I left. And to show you something about my husband, he's very funny. Everybody loves him. He has the great sense of humor, and he is very, very charming. So when I looked for an apartment, I took my little grandson with me, Robbie. I was looking at apartments, and he was about 3 years old. And then when we came back home, everybody was home. He said, Grandma and I found an apartment and we're moving. It could be a sitcom.
Yeah.
But we were separated for a while. And I clearly remember my husband calling me one day because my older daughters were still with him. The three, they were living together. Mm-hmm. Both of them graduated from college. All of their friends bought a house and everything. And then my husband, he called me on the phone and he said, Sandy, how come I got custody of the kids? So I looked at the phone. I said, what kid? They're 24 and 23 years old. But like with him, I think the humor, and after a while, he is so funny and so charming. And today, we have the best relationship that we've ever had. We finally found our way back to each other. And I think it was through our grandsons had a lot to do with it, too.
Did you ever do therapy?
No.
No therapy.
No therapy.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie. He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
You said your grandkids, but what was the conversation between you and your husband? Like, how did you reconnect? How did you find your way back to each other?
Well, slowly but surely, we would run into, because we still did a lot of things together as a family. We still did all of those things together. And through the years, it seemed like he started recognizing he had more empathy and insight into me, and curious and really interested in what I was doing. So mm-hmm. He showed genuine interest in me. And then after a while, we just became even better friends. And we finally got back together and said, we'll give this another try.
Yeah.
And it's worked out so fine. He is my Prince Charming that I thought I had a long time. I wow. have him now.
What was better, the first half or the second half?
The second half. Yes.
And you wouldn't have known that had you not
yes.
stuck it out. I think that's so interesting about just being, you know, authentic and transparent with someone. For a long time, in my 20s and my 30s, I would literally pretend to be someone else. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't someone contrary to who I was, but I would show up and pose. You know, I was always together. I would, you know, turn the brain on. I was only saying, like, you know, the most highbrow things. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s and met someone and I was my most authentic self, my most transparent self. I will throw a tantrum if I want to. He will see me cry, all of these things. And it was intimidating to me because I felt so naked. I felt so emotionally naked. But then it was also comfortable, you know, right. Like this is the most comfortable I could be with somebody. To get maybe TMI, I had never even walked around unclothed in front of anyone before. Wow. Yeah, because I always wanted to look perfect. And in this particular case, I was just walking around. I'm a virgin, Miss Tate, obviously. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, but I felt comfortable, you know, I was like, I'm going to be, you know, who I am. And to do that the first time in my 40s was interesting. And it just made me so much more open, but also so much more emotional. So I'm just curious, and for the younger folks who are always like primed and, you know, looking their best on Instagram, like, how is it being your authentic self relating to another human being?
For me, I've always felt very comfortable being myself because I was so raised to feel comfortable in my skin. But I look at a lot of my girlfriends and I can see that. Like, they feel as though they have to play a role that's like digestible or attractive or seems cool. Whether that's, you know, your stereotypical looking perfect on Instagram, or if, you know, they are a writer, they're like, I need to be up on the best books and I need to, you know, make him think that I know everything about every new topic. Or if they're into music, they're like, I need to know every song and everything. And I'm like, this is not sustainable or real. But I think because we're constantly just consuming content that seems so perfect, everyone thinks that's what they need to be. And it really then, you're not even being yourself, you're fake.
Right.
And now this person's trying to peel off layers and really get to know you. And then you, honestly, I feel like you lose yourself. So I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder and all these
swiping
things.
Right or left swiping on somebody. Right and left. It makes people feel like they're disposable.
Exactly.
You know, like they're not real human beings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, that does affect your behavior, whether if people like something or not. I remember one of the best lessons I learned from my dad, and I remember this clearly. I was at my grandmother's house, and the neighbors next door had all the kids I used to play with. But this time, I didn't want to play with the girl next door because my aunt had taken paper bags, and she did my hair where I had all of these curls and everything in this beautiful dress. And I said, well, I don't really want to play with them today because they don't look as nice as I'd look. And then I looked at my father. I was a little girl and he looked at me and the look in his eyes said, I could tell that he was not pleased with, you know, what I was saying. And I, to this day, even when I got older, I thanked him for pointing that out to me because I would have missed so many great opportunities in life by judging people by their looks or by their how much money they have or anything like that. That was a great lesson I learned from my dad.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Okay, y'all already know the streets are talking.
Y'all know the streets are talking all the time about relationships.
Always.
Everybody, every time I scroll on Instagram, some is a new relationship guru, some self-declared person spitting that Instagram knowledge, you know, and I will caution people, talk to somebody with some letters behind their names, you know, if you really want advice, or our elders. I think, you know, nothing can substitute just days spent on this earth and, you know, someone who's been married 60 plus years. So, well, somebody who I think has always had really interesting thoughts on self-love and being self-full with just you by yourself is Tracee Ellis Ross. She's sharing some thoughts on why she is choicefully single. So I want you guys to take a listen and we can talk about it on the other side.
I, like many of us, was taught to grow up dreaming of my wedding, not of my life, and also waiting to be chosen. Well, here's the thing. I'm the chooser, and I can choose to get married if I want to, but in the meantime, I am choicefully single, happily, gloriously single. And I do wish there were more examples. So many people ask the question, have you ever thought about having children? My child gave my life meaning. I'm like, are you saying my life is not meaningful?
So I thought Tracee Ellis Ross raised a really good point because even in society, it's like men are the choosers. I have been, you know, quote unquote, chosen before. I don't know that I've ever chosen someone else. You know, I have recently, but it's, you know, we're not an exclusive relationship, but I felt like, oh, I would choose you. And that's so important for us as women. You know, like, do you choose me? And do I choose you in coming together under that auspice? And who did the choosing, do you think, with you and your husband?
You know, in my relationship, my husband,
he chose you. Your husband chose you in your relationship.
This is a funny story. So I've always had a crush on my boyfriend. Like, I've known him for years and he would DJ at different spots. And so I would literally drag my friends and be like, we're going uptown. We're going all over the city. He's DJing here. He's DJing there. And this boy paid me no mind. Like, he'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, Damn. Like, he's not seeing it. And then one day we hung out and I saw him as a friend. And I'm just talking like we're friends, literally going on my rants about how I feel about monogamy and just like he's a girlfriend. And he was like, I wanted to show you that the way you were thinking was really twisted. And so I wanted to be with you and show you like what a good relationship could look like. So in a way, he chose me, yeah. Even though I stalked him.
But that is something about, you know, I think younger women today, like younger women will do the choosing. And I am in, you know, in between these generations where I feel like I am an analog girl living in a digital world, mm-hmm. You know, like you, because when I'm doing the choosing, the dynamic is off now. You know, if I feel like the man in this position, you might feel a little emasculated at times, yeah. You know, like you choose me, make it clear, make it obvious, slap me across the face with it. Now, one thing I will say about exposing yourself to somebody in that way, one thing I learned about myself, I can say some ugly things when I am so open and honest and in love with someone and they hurt my feelings. The things that I can spew, I have surprised myself because I am so deeply hurt. I'm curious, in your marriage, can you recall a time where you did or said something to your husband? It was below the belt. It was so hurtful and you wish you could take it back. Did that ever occur? And if it did, how did you get past it?
See, you would have to ask him.
Fair
enough. Because I don't believe that I ever did that, because I'm very mindful about the things that I say. And maybe, like I'm saying, I used to be a programmer, so maybe it's just logic, mm-hmm. in terms of the way that I think. Because I also, like if I'm feeling something and say, if you might get a tinge of jealousy about something or anger, to me, that's the best time to grow. If you take a moment to really think about why you're angry or why you're jealous or whatever these feelings are, sometimes you come up with a different answer. It's not really against the person that said something, but it could be something that you don't have in your life,
right.
Or you're lacking that you're not. So why are you jealous of this person?
Yeah.
If you want to be like that, then do something so you can reach that goal. And those are my fear in terms of how to manage the way that I feel about things.
And you said a key word there, being logical. And emotions are not always logical.
Right. Yes.
Something a dear friend of mine, Latasha, tells me is be judicious with your words. You know, and that is a lesson I'm still learning at this point, because I haven't lived with anybody. I've never been married. And it's, you know, quite frankly, somebody who stands by me and that says, yes, I make room for your personhood. I know that you say these things. I try to be mindful of that. But it's a lesson I haven't quite learned yet. You know, we've been talking a lot about marriage and relationships, but I am mindful of all the single women out there who are not in a relationship. They're not married. And I just wonder, how much does your relationship define you as a human being, as a woman? Like, if your husband did go away, does that take part of your existence and who you are? Like, who would you have been just as an individual?
That's a very hard question. I never really thought about it, but I would like to think I would be basically the same person that I am now, but maybe with a lot more time to do things that are not confined within the family, or especially being older,
mm-hmm.
because you're no longer taking care of children, doing those kind of things. So
I'd imagine it's hard after being with someone since you were 18.
Yes.
So it really is defining.
It is.
You know, it strikes me that some women define their entire existence by being able to attract a man or attract a husband. Could you be happy if you never, you know, if you were never chosen by your boyfriend, if you were single the rest of your life, do you think you would be okay?
If I were to lie to myself, I'd say yes. But if I were to be like very honest, I don't think so. Not in the sense of not being chosen, but wanting that companionship, like just wanting that person to come home to. Like even now, like I'll be out all day and I'm so excited to come home to someone. But in that same vein, I feel like it shouldn't have to define you. I feel like people should continue to try to live their lives and have their fun and not always seek something. And I truly do think that things happen to you when you're not actively looking for it, as like cheesy and cliche as that is. Like, live your life and really develop who you are and who you want to be, because if you're not being real with yourself or you haven't really found yourself, how's anybody going to really be able to mesh with you? I think your situation is a little different because you all grew up together. But now, you know, friends, 34, 35, you are yourself. And ideally that person who you find is accepting you for you. And if that doesn't happen, you're still comfortable with you.
Yeah. We're starting relationships later.
Yes.
As you know,
so different.
My, you know, peers started later. Your peers are starting even later. So yeah, it is. Look, I'll say for me, I do not think it is natural to connect and invest with someone mentally, spiritually, and physically, and not care if it works out or not, you know, just, you know, kind of be indifferent about it all. And it feels like in this younger generation, particularly, it's become kind of in vogue to, you know, just date multiple people and be indifferent about the whole thing. And I think that, to your point, goes against the human condition. It's just not what it is. And the expectations that younger people have, the new rules around dating. I want to come back to something that you said. When you and your husband separated, how long were you separated?
I think we were separated about maybe 7 or 8 years.
Years?
Yes.
Wow. I was thinking months when you said that.
Oh, no.
Years.
Actually separated, it would have been less than that. But the thing is that at one point, I moved to New Jersey to help my daughter. She got divorced. And I was there to help her with her son because she had and when she was in heading toward 40 and a very, very demanding career and the whole bit. So in essence, we were separated and coming back and forth because he was in Manhattan on 79th, where our apartment was. So automatically I was there in Jersey most of the time as backup for my daughter and to help with my grandson.
You know, 8 years is a long time to be apart from your spouse. And I imagine a lot of things can happen in nearly a decade. I'm curious, in relationships, what are your deal breakers? Like, because I feel like, you know, we sometimes people will swallow something that they're not really cool with, or, you know, you tolerate something in the bigger picture. I guess as a plain spoken way to say it is, what does your husband get away with? You know, like, what are the things that you say, I'm going to turn a blind eye, I'm going to forgive, I'm not going to see it, it's a don't ask, don't tell, especially during that separation time?
Yes. I would basically say it was don't ask, don't tell. I never questioned what he was doing because I really, that was him. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm not that woman to try to follow him or do anything like that to see what he's doing, because I have a lot that I'm doing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have a life that I'm living. I'm, you know, working. I had and in fact, my husband and I, when we were separated, we invested in the New Yorker Club. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but the New Yorker Club was the first private club in New York City. It was a private club and it was a limited part, and they had like about 20 limited partners, of which my husband and I were involved with. And all Black people can come and have the events there. It was just a great, great idea. But we went bankrupt within a year.
Mm.
So there are a lot of different things that I tried when my daughters were older. I worked at an African restaurant down on Chamber Street, Okapi. I was the general manager. And it just seems like everything that I've done has been initiated by someone else or a situation, or somebody referred me to something, because these are things ordinarily I would not have done on my own.
Yeah.
But it's always challenging if you haven't done something or if it's afraid. Do it anyway. You might, you never know. You might like it. And I managed an African restaurant where the staff spoke French and everything. I did speak French, and one of the guys came back with a lot of wrong things on the list because of my friend. So Etienne, the assistant manager, he took care of all of the ordering and stuff. But it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had working in that restaurant. So there are a lot of different things that I was trying and doing during that time. And of course, being hands-on, helping with my grandson.
Yeah. After 8 years, I feel like you get used to your own life and your own routine and, you know, coming and going in your own way. So it had to be just real love that, yes, that brought you back to that, to adjust to,
yeah,
that again.
It is, because when I think about my husband, he's so funny. He's so charming. And I can always, the picture that I have in my mind of him when Janine D was smaller, we used to go upstate New York, like a lot of times in the summertime. And I clearly remember one time we were upstate and we stayed in a trailer. In the nighttime, we would look at the stars and everything like that. And we went to the lake the next day, and all of a sudden it got cloudy outside. It was dark. The sun went away. It was getting cold. And my daughters looked at their dad and said, "Dad, could you just please make the sun come out?" And my husband got up there and he did all kind of weird things, like he was a witch doctor and everything like that. And do you know, the sun came out? And I said, "That man has made the sun come out for us ever since that time. I will never, ever forget that."
Wow. And neither will my daughters. My man, my man, my man.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so.
I mean, if somebody's making the sun come out for you, that's going to draw you back after 8 years.
Yeah.
What are your deal breakers? Like, it's different because marriage is different, yeah, than a boyfriend.
Yeah.
But even as a boyfriend, like, what can your man get away with?
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie.
He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, "I wish he was dead." He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC 8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
What can your man get away with?
I'm a little more flexible. I like to live a don't ask, don't tell lifestyle. I'm mm-hmm. like, listen, on a bachelor trip, I don't need to know. Don't come home with nothing you didn't leave with. And yeah. That's kind of my perspective on it. But I think the biggest thing for me is trust. Like, don't sneak around. Like, if you're getting crazy with your friends, you want to go out all night and have a good time, fine. But like, don't lie. Just mm-hmm. tell me what you're doing. I think if you break my trust and I feel like you're sneaking around and like trying to get one over on me, then I don't appreciate that. But I think if you are open and honest and there's, you know, certain things you want to do or certain new things you want to try, like,
yeah,
I think I'm open.
As long as he's honest.
As long as he's honest.
So if he comes back and he says, listen, I'm going to Miami mm-hmm. with the fellas. We're going to be kicking it. We're going to hit the drip clubs.
As you
do
should.
All the things. If something goes down, like I want some freedom this weekend.
Yeah.
If something goes down with a woman, I don't want to feel like I'm breaking some holy covenant with you.
Right.
I can't say what's going to happen, but it might.
Yeah.
And I want to be upfront with you and tell you this now. You say what?
I'm open to that. Mm. I think that that needs to go both ways. I think sometimes men aren't as open about that type of stuff because mm-hmm. it feels a little more territorial. But I'm open to that. I don't need all the details. I don't need to know her name. I don't need to know everything that you done did. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're like safe and smart, I understand. I don't necessarily believe that someone could be with one person for their entire life. I don't know.
No, but monogamy is something that you can adjust to with the rules.
Yeah, but I think that there will be times where whatever that looks like, there's flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say about that, Ms. Tate?
I kind of think like, I never really, you know, you always try to stay positive and think about, I think with two daughters, a lot of time, that's the last thing on your mind. Mm. And see with my husband, his lifestyle was very different anyway, because he was always involved in giving parties and events until today. He's still working and he's 83 years old.
Wow.
But he's a consultant with the Harlem Chamber of Commerce. And they still today he's doing events. He loves doing those kind mm-hmm. of things. So with him, it's, I don't know, like he's out as part of making money. So
yeah.
that's a different situation that I was yeah. in terms of.
And I got to say, if I'm in my 80s and I got to worry about my husband and what he's doing in these streets,
no.
like, I'm exhausted. At that point, like, I'm exhausted. Because what do you say? You can't say grow up. It's like you're real grown already at
no,
that point.
This is so. From his younger days. Because
yeah.
I find now that we're both senior citizens, a real senior citizen.
Yeah.
I would basically say this is the best part of our marriage. Because it's nice. When you get older, a lot of times, if you're older, you become invisible to people when you're past a certain age. And it's like only like your old friends and or your husband, you can relate to so many different things. In fact, I told my daughters, I said, you know what? When I was in Jersey, I noticed in all of this older white people were like extra nice to me and everything like that. And I just figured, I said, you know what? Maybe this is the first time in their life that they've ever been discriminated against and they can feel, you know, have more empathy for people that are older like them, because you become like a non-person, mm. but you're not that way with people your own age.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll keep y'all posted on when I experience some white empathy, but yes, I take your point. Sade, you have been saying that you've been sending your boyfriend like pictures, like this, the ring I want. This.
Oh, yes, I have. It's that time.
Yeah. That's very interesting because maybe y'all are both doing some choosing, but you're saying, no, it's time. Like, we are.
Yeah.
How does that work? Essentially, you're saying it's time for you to propose to me. And that previously in your generation, for sure, like men control that entire process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had conversations like flat out, like, would you marry me? Would you want to get married? What would you want to do? And he's like, yes, I would marry you. I'd want to do all of those things. And so I'm like, great. Well, looking at I'm being honest about biological clocks. Mm-hmm. I'm like looking at the timeline, how things want to go,
yeah.
how I'm kind of envisioning my life. I'd want to be married before I start to think about a family. And so I send those rings on over. I've sent some and he's like, these are hideous. No.
Okay.
And then others, he's like, okay, this will work. And I'm like, great.
Some women are even proposing to men.
Oh, no.
What, Ms. Tate, what do you think? Well, one, what do you think about like send like, hey, here's the ring I want. Let's make this happen. Or like, hey, brother, will you marry me? What do you think?
I think that's fine nowadays yeah. to do that because these are really different, you know, different times.
Yeah.
So I think I'd have not a problem with women
yeah.
asking a man to marry them.
Well, We're coming to our closing time, and I want to take a moment of personal privilege and get some advice from you before we go. I am not in a committed relationship. I'm 44. I would like a life partner. I'm completely open to marriage and what that might look like. I am working on the most important relationship with myself, and I want to be okay no matter what happens. Now, if I'm all into this man, this one person, and you know it doesn't work out, it's such a disappointment, you know, at this point in life. And I'm just curious, as a woman who's been married 61 years, you've gone through ups and downs, you're separated 8 years, you've lived this very full life as a mother, a wife, but also just as a woman, you know, take away all that. As a woman, you have lived a full life. What advice would you have for me as I'm navigating these issues being middle-aged?
So don't define yourself as being middle-aged, first and foremost. It's just about being a woman and understanding where you're going and what you want out of life. And just how you put that effort into everything else, put that same effort into finding that person that's there for you. And it's not always the brightest bulb in the room. I think a lot of times women limit themselves. I clearly remember one time, I always have stories to tell. And this is a younger, we were at a party. We were all sitting around the table. And then there was the guy that came into the party and all of them said, oh, he's so nice. Everybody's so sweet. And another guy that was sitting at the table with us said, yeah, but he's not the one that any of you would date. You're always going with the ones that's the worst guys, the bad boys all the time. So like broaden your horizons. And, you know, travel and look for diamonds in different places. They're not always like down in a cave or a mine somewhere. They're everywhere.
Well, I hope I can find a diamond to make the sun come out for me.
But if you don't need, and not to worry about it. I have friends today that have never been. They've never been married, never have children. And they're my age. They have a great life. They have plenty of money. They travel and do everything. And even I have two girlfriends and her daughter decided to get a townhouse together instead of them all separately spending all of this different money. And the three of them have their privacy and together, not only are they saving a lot of money, but they have built a nice place for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you have people to look after you and somebody, you know, that cook or if you get sick or need somebody. So it's like they have a community, a family within themselves.
I love that.
Yes.
Again, this conversation has fed my spirit. I thank you both for sharing your stories. This is why I like having younger people here because you've imparted knowledge as well. You know, your path and representing how younger people view partnership and certainly your sage counsel on just living your life and your experience as a wife has been amazing. I want to close the show by saying marriage is not one long first date. And when you think about marriage in terms of someone to grow old with, it is not the person that you're looking at now, but who you want holding your hand in those rough times when you lose your mother, when you're burying a parent, should you lose a child, when you're in cancer and, you know, in the hospital and can't wipe your own behind. Like that is the crux of what makes a marriage work. And I look forward to having experience if that is God's plan for me. But also, I think just the beauty and magic that come from finding someone who can make the sun come out for you on a cloudy day. So best wishes to all of you in your marriage and building beautiful Black love, because that's been such a huge part of our superpower as a community. And if you're on that journey to find that love, generate that love here first. Someone gave me great advice and said, become love and then you will attract love. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Across Generations, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Across Generations is brought to you by Will Packer and Will Packer Media in partnership with iHeart Podcast. I'm your host and executive producer, Tiffany D. Cross. From idea to launch productions, executive producer, Carla Wilmeris. Produced by Mandy B. and Angel Forte. Editing, sound design, and mix by Gaza Forte. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kaysen Alexander and Courtney Dean.
Diamonds Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford, doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.